I just had some thoughts. I was reading various things this week, and some things come to my mind I thought would be interesting to you. One is that we have to remember that God's not only preparing us for this life, He's preparing us for the next one. Some people get the idea they come to Christ and then they're saved, they're going to heaven, that's all there is to it. But that really isn't the way it is, because God's preparing us now for eternity. There's more than just going to heaven. There's preparing for what we're going to do when we get there. And God's preparing for preparing us now for that. And many times we go through trials in this life, and one of the things and the reasons for it is very simply because God's preparing us for eternity. And He's teaching us through something that we're going through in our life. And so it's not just a matter of going to church, receiving Christ, being baptized, and that's it. That's just the beginning. And then we have to keep the fire burning. God gives us His fire within us, but we have to keep that burning. Back when I was a kid, way back there, they didn't have furnaces like they have today. We had a coal furnace. I don't know if anybody ever been around a furnace that was a coal furnace, but that's the way you heated your house, and it didn't work quite as efficient as these do today. But a coal furnace needs three things in order for it to work properly. One of the things it needed was air, oxygen. It needed something. A fire has to have oxygen to burn. And so they'd have what you call a draft, and you'd turn this thing and give it a little more air so you'd get a little more heat, because the fire would burn a little hotter. And for us, that's prayer and seeking God. If we want to keep the fire burning with us, the oxygen to it is prayer and seeking God, because God will bless those that seek Him, it says very simply in Scripture. The second thing is, one of the jobs I had as a kid, you'd have to go down and you'd have to shake a little thing there, and all the ashes would fall into a little place, and you'd have to get a shovel and shovel those ashes out of there, because the fire didn't burn as well as those ashes there. Couldn't get the oxygen, it'd clog up everything. So you'd have to clean that out. And so we have to remove the ashes. And one thing we do is that we don't live in the past. And the second thing is that we confess it when we do something wrong in the present. That keeps everything clean in our life. We had a prayer this morning earlier before the service. We have some that meet for prayer, and I prayed that we would be clean before the Lord this morning, and that's very important. And so you do that, and that's removing the ashes from your life so you have a clean burning fire and a hotter fire. And then you need fuel for the fire. You have to have coal. You have to have something to burn. And that's the third thing, and that's the Word of God. You study the Word of God, and you obey the Word of God, and you hear the Word of God. And that's the fuel for the fire. And these are and you're faithful to the Lord in those things. So those three things are necessary. Fire needs air. A fire needs to have a clean burning area. And then the third thing, it needs fuel. And the same thing with us and with our hearts. And we have to keep the fire burning and keep the fire going on a daily basis until Jesus comes for us. And then another thing I wanted to mention, the last thing before I get into the study, and that's very simply, God knows where to plant us. God knows where to put us that we will grow and flourish. You know, I noticed if you go in the springtime, which is certainly not springtime, but if you go in and buy some grass seed, they got certain grass seed for the sunny areas, and then they have certain grass seed for the shady areas. And certain kind of seed will grow in the shade, and certain kind of seed will grow in the sun. It's the same way with flowers and trees and things like that. There's certain kind of flowers that grow in the shade, and they're beautiful. There's certain kind of flowers that grow in full sun, and they have to have that to grow. And so it's the same way with you and I. God knows where to put us. He knows where to put us at a certain time in our life and a certain place to plant us where we'll grow and flourish. And so that's several of the reasons why we need to hear from God. It was a normal thing for the disciples. You know, it'd been an interesting thing. Jesus come down and he'll say, you're going to be a disciple. And he picks out 12 guys. He says, okay, go out and do what you're supposed to do. Well, he hadn't told them what to do yet. Well, God's telling us what to do. He's instructing us, just like he instructed Peter and John and all of those disciples. He instructs us, and so we have to hear. We have to be instructed. We have to be instructed maybe when we're straying from the path and instructed when he wants us to walk a certain way. And one of the ways that we've been talking about with hearing God, and I started it last time, and I didn't get this finished, because we have to understand that certain people operate from a right brain and some people operate from a left brain. And we have those two hemispheres in our brain, right brain, left brain. The left brain is where we get our language and where we speak and where we have skills in mathematics and things of that nature. We have written language out of our left brain. That's how we write. We read in our left brain. We reason things out. That's where we can reason out answers when we have a problem. That's in our left brain. But the right brain is the creative side of us, where we create and we invent and we dream and we can understand spiritual things. That's the right brain. That's where we appreciate music and art and nature and the beauty of the Word of God and all of these things. That's our right brain. And so what God really wants us to do is to be balanced. He wants us to be able to reason things out, and he also wants to be able to hear in the spiritual realm. And so we need to be both. But some people are just very strong on the right or very strong on the left. And people that are very strong on the left and have to reason everything out, they have to understand it or they won't do it. They have to understand it or they won't listen. They're going to have a hard time hearing God. And so it doesn't mean you can't, because God speaks through his word, and left-brainers study that word of God, and they get the word of God. But many times they miss the spoken word of God. And God sometimes speaks into our mind, as we talked about, in our thoughts, and that's the way he operates. And so I'm going to show you examples in the Bible of these two. So look in Luke chapter 1. And verse 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 1. And I'm going to show you in the Bible where it shows this very thing. So in other words, if you have to investigate everything and figure everything out before you do it, and you don't really have a creative side, then you need to ask God to bring alive your left brain function. Now, that's just the way God made us. So we want to go to Luke chapter 1 and verse 1. And this says, "Forasmuch as many as have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having a perfect understanding of all things, from the very first, to write unto you in order, most excellent Theophilus." Now, Luke, incidentally, they think was written as a defense for Paul when he went to Rome to stand before Nero. And they think that's why Luke wrote this, because this was read evidently in Rome. But anyway, so what did he do? This was a left brain. He analyzed it. He investigated it. He put it into order. He wrote it out in order. This was a left brain activity here. He wrote out the information he knew, wrote out what he understood. So that was left brain. Let's go now to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. Here we're going to see a right brain function where John is listening, actually, the words from an angel. And I want to show this to you because you need to understand he was functioning here from the right brain. Now, you don't have to get all shook about this thing if you don't understand left brain, right brain, but the idea is you need to ask God to be able to hear his voice when he speaks. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them." And they know him, of course. So, now here we go to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. This says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Now I'm going to explain this in just a minute. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a voice, a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, 'I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea.'" Now, this John was focusing on the spirit realm. He was focusing on the Lord. He was praying. He was listening for God to speak. And in this case, God sent an angel. And this angel gave him the information he needed. He wrote it down for us. And so he received a rhema word, a spoken word, in this case from an angel. He received it. He wrote it down. Now keep those things in mind. Now the Holy Spirit can flow through either side of your brain. He can flow through the Word of God as you read it and as you study it, and it speaks to you, so to speak. Or he can speak from the right brain, which you will hear a voice in your thoughts, in your mind, in your spirit, in your conscience, in your spiritual side of your being. So it's important for us as Christians to not only analyze things, but also to hear God's voice. And we need to know his voice. It's very important. Now, how can you go from the left side to the right side? I'm going to explain that to you because we've already done it already this morning. You need to understand this, and this is why we have music in our church. I'm going to explain this. Now, first I want you to go, we're going to look at several scriptures. Look at John 10 and verse 1. Look at John 10 and verse 1. I'm going to show you some scriptures. Okay. This is what I was quoting a while ago. Now, this is Jesus Christ speaking. And so what he says is truth. He says this, John 10, verse 1. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs in some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out," and so on. And it says, "And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice." So you have to, this is something that you have to work at. It's something you have to work at, hearing the voice of God. It doesn't sometimes just come automatically. You have to be listening. You have to put yourself in a certain frame of mind. You have to be focusing on the Lord. I'm going to show you exactly how to do it this morning and also hand out some information to you. But I want this church to start hearing God. Some of you already do. Some of you do not. But anybody, if you're a Christian, you can hear God. Now let's go to the Old Testament to Psalm 100. This is a psalm I learned in Sunday school before I was ever a Christian. And it stuck with me, and I never realized why I memorized it, but now I know. But anyway, Psalm 100, starting in verse 1, says this, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." I want you to repeat after me. Come before his presence with singing. That is a command of God. Now, you say, I can't sing. Well, you can say the words. You can hum. You can whistle. You can do something. God understands. But it says, if you want to come into the presence of the Lord and hear from God, one of the ways to do it is to sing before the Lord. That's why we have what we call praise and worship every time we meet almost, because we want you to be in the presence of God so that when you hear the word of God being spoken, then you also can hear God in your thoughts. And that's important. God never saved us to just let us float around this world with no guidance. He gave us the Bible and he gave us his word that he speaks to us. And I know that anybody that has truly sought God over a period of time has heard his voice, because you will. There's no such thing as one person being better than another person, and God's only going to speak to certain people. That's not the way it is. He will speak to you. And I want to show you in the Bible where this was done in a couple of places. And so the point is, how can we get into this, if you want to call it, listening mode to hear God? If you listen to a certain radio station, you have to tune it in. It just, you don't just turn your radio on unless it's already on that station and you get it. You have to tune it in. It's the same way with God. You have to tune him in. You have to tune out the things of the world and tune in God. And I'm going to tell you how to do that in just a minute. Let's go to the Old Testament. And first I want you to look in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 19. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 19. I'll give you a little bit of time to find it. It's about, a third of the way through the Old Testament. You have Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 19. Now, I want to show you something very interesting about the power of praise and worship. The power of praise and worship. Chapter 16, verse 19. "Whereas Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David your son who is with the sheep. Jesse took an ass laden with bread and skinned the wine and a kid of the goats and sent them by David to his son and to Saul. And David came to Saul, who was the king, and stood before him, and he loved him greatly and became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray you, stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." Now look at this carefully. "And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and well, and an evil spirit departed from him." One of the reasons that you listen to Christian music, that you sing Christian songs, that you do these things, because it causes evil spirits to leave. Are you listening to me? You have the will and the choice as to what kind of spirit's going to be in your house. One of the ways is by the music you play. Are you listening to me? Or your automobile, or whatever it is. Now you're saying he's beginning to meddle, and yes, I am. because God is. It's different music draws different spirits. It is very true, because if you go to certain places in the world where they conjure up evil spirits, they will play certain music to bring those spirits to manifest. And now, Saul had a real problem following the Lord, and every once in a while he'd get off the track and he'd open the door to evil spirits. When he would do that, he would call for David to come and sing and play, and those spirits would leave. Are you listening to me? Okay. That's why we sing certain types of songs on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever it is. Now I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 3. Just keep going to the right and you'll come to Kings. Go to 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings 3 and to verse 15. I want to show you in the Bible, it says these things in the Word. Very interesting. 2 Kings 3, verse 15. Now, there's a situation where Elisha was trying to get a word. Elisha was a prophet. He wanted a word from the Lord. He was in a situation where he needed a word. The king had asked him to get a word from God because the nation was about to be attacked. And so, boy, does our nation need a word from God. Amen? Well, anyway, and so in verse 14, Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat the king, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. Now bring me a minstrel," or a person that sang and played an instrument. "And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him." There it is. And then he got a word from God, and it saved him from the enemy. But the point was, they got a word from God. They brought in somebody to sing and play the songs of the Lord. When they brought in somebody to sing and play the songs of the Lord, then the prophet got a word from God, saved the king, saved the nation, saved all of those people. That's how important it is to get a word from God. That's why we need people in Washington, D.C. that'll get a word from God, you see, to save our nation. Now, there's a difference between praise and worship. Praising in the Bible is thanking God for what he has done. And so some of the songs that we sing are thanksgiving songs. I don't mean the day of Thanksgiving. I'm talking about his thanksgiving to God. "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." We're thanking the Lord. We're getting the attention of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit perks up, so to speak, when you start singing and thanking God for what he has done. That is called praise. You come into his courts with praise, we read in Psalm 100. You come into the courts of God with praise. You approach God with praise. You approach him with thanksgiving. There's a protocol. When you come before the president, there's a protocol. You just don't run in there. "How you doing there, Barack? What's happening?" No, that isn't the way it goes. There's a protocol. There's a certain way you address the president, whoever it is. And it's when to address God, you come with thanksgiving. You come with thanksgiving. You enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's what it's talking about. Then you have worship. Now, worship is different. Worship is loving God. He is worthy. He is worthy of our praise and our singing and our worship and our songs before the Lord. He is worthy. And so you come into the courts with thanksgiving, and then you worship the Lord, you love him and bless him and so on, and then you'll hear from God. That's the issue. And so we want you to hear from God. That's why we have songs of thanksgiving. That's why we have songs loving God. And you say, what are we singing these mushy songs to God for? Because that opens the door to hear from God. Don't you know, if you are want to have a conversation with your husband or wife, you gotta kind of milk it a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? You have to get it going. You know, you have to keep an atmosphere of love and an atmosphere of thankfulness and an atmosphere of appreciation, shall I put it that way. And you're going to find a whole lot more conversation going on at home if you have that in your home. Do I hear an amen? Amen. It's the same way with God. I don't know where we get the idea. Well, God, we just address him any way we want to, and everything's just going to be fine. You're talking about God here, the one that created everything, including you and me, the one that wants to give us information. And so we have to prime the pump, so to speak, with worship and praise and encouragement. And that's why when we were praying this morning before the service, we sang a couple of songs. And we're just getting an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can come and speak to us and speak to you, because what good is it? You could read your Bible at home. What you need a word from God. Every time you come to church, shouldn't be just, well, I'm going to get my card punched that I showed up Sunday. No, you're going to come to hear from God. And if you don't hear from him here, you might hear from him driving home or driving to church tonight if you come tonight, or something else you're doing, but you've opened the door to hear from God in this service. Elisha said, bring me some music, bring me a minstrel to open the door for the Spirit of God to speak. And so that's exactly what he did. He drew him from that left side of his brain to the right side of his brain, where he would hear the creative word of God in his mind, in his thoughts, in his word, however God wanted to do it. He could send an angel if he wants to. He does sometimes. But the point is, you want Christian music going. You want the right kind of music going in your car, in your home, wherever you're at, and certainly in church, you see. And so, can you imagine the Holy Spirit just waiting for the people to start singing and blessing God, and we're singing, how great is our God. You know, I mean, God, the Holy Spirit gets excited when you do. When you get excited about God, you know, I know there's people, they live in their emotions, and everybody said they're no earthly good. They're always out there in the middle of dreamers. They don't accomplish anything, and there are people like that. And then there's people on the other side, they got to figure out everything, or they're not doing nothing, you know. And that probably, you're one way or the other a little bit more. But the point is, God wants us balanced. If you don't have this creative side, ask for it. If you don't have that side that's listening to God, ask for it, because God will give it to you. And I understand you need to be a certain way in certain jobs, but there's also such a thing as you want to hear from God, and so you have to ask him. I hope you're listening to me, because this is important about how God works. And then I'm going to tell you some other things here quickly as soon as I can, but you have to do something else. While you're singing and while you're worshiping, it's a good idea to picture God on the throne. Picture him there. When Stephen was being stoned to death, he was picturing Jesus Christ on the throne of God, and he saw the throne, and he saw Jesus stand up. It's just like, okay, come on up. It's your time. And he died, and he went right to be with the Lord. And you need to picture God, however you picture God. On the throne, or you might just see a light on the throne, or however you picture God. But you need to focus on God. If you want to hear from God, you focus on God. If you want to hear from somebody on television, you focus on the television. That's the way you do it. You focus on God. That's why we come as a congregation on Sundays, to focus on God, to lay the worldly stuff aside, the Bears game aside, and everything else aside, so that you can focus on God. This is the time to focus on God. Now, you need to do it during the week. That's why you take a little bit of your time when you get up or before you go to bed, and you just set everything aside, and you can play Christian music if you want to, and you just give that time to the Lord. I'm going to guarantee you, you'll start hearing from God, because God's speaking all the time. He wants to speak to you. He wants to have a conversation with you. And so you need to focus on the Lord, whether you picture him on the throne or however God works with you. Everybody's a little different. And you know, I've said this before, but some people say, well, I'm going to go to church when the singing's over. Boy, have they missed it. They really missed it. Because that's the time you prepare to hear from God. That's the time you're preparing your mind to be clear, and it's a time to confess sin. It's a time to get ready, get everything clean, get everything right so that you can hear from God. And that's what this is all about. There's more to it than just coming and putting in your time and listening to me talk. You have to do something. You have to prepare yourself to hear from God. And like I say, he might not talk to you here, but he might talk to you tomorrow morning when you're doing something. But the point is, you've given him some time in your week. You've given that to God so you can hear from him, you see. And there's certain ways you do it. And you don't get it by playing heavy metal music. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. You do it by the type of choruses, whatever. Godly music, there's all kinds, and so on. So, you know, it is important to have a home that has an atmosphere so you can hear God. Now, I understand if you have kids and all this thing, there's a lot of things going on, but you got to find a quiet time someplace, sometime, in order to hear God. Now, there's four things, and I'm going to keep going over these four things until you get it, because these are important. Number one, you have to find a time to be quiet before God. Even if it's driving down the road, you can be quiet before God. Turn Fox News off, and the president's already done that. And turn Fox News off, and listen to Christian music if there's a station or something, or listen to whatever, and because you want some time with God. Then you want to focus on Christ. Now, while you're focusing on Christ, it's okay to ask him for something. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened. You say, well, God knows my mind. Yes, but he wants to talk. He wants you to talk to him. This is a two-way thing. He can read your mind, but that's not the best way. You need to talk to God. It's okay to ask him for something. There's something I couldn't find in my house. And, you know, I even forget how to do it right sometimes. Grace said, why don't you pray? Grace said, after I got over my anger, I started praying. I think I know where it is now. I know where to go and find it. But God doesn't mind that at all. He likes any kind of words you want to speak to him. But if it's finding something you lost, that's fine. He's great at finding lost things. Are you listening to me? Now, I've done that a lot of times over the years. Lost something, couldn't find it, had no idea where it was. And I pray, all of a sudden it come to my mind where it was. Where do you think that came from? Came from God. Okay? Now, so You want to be quiet before the Lord. You're going to focus on Christ. You may talk to him a little bit. And then you start listening to the thoughts in your mind. Just what's going through your mind. Now, as I said before, your thoughts can come through three different places. Can come from God, can come from the devil, can come from you personally, your own thoughts. All thoughts are not of God. All thoughts are not good. And everybody has all kinds of thoughts. I don't care what kind of a Christian they are. And then when you hear from God, write it down if at all possible. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a great person to write things down. My wife writes everything down. And that's good because she writes it down. One thing about writing it down, you'll remember it. And then if you don't remember it, you know where to go back and get it. Because the devil wants to take that out of your mind so you will not be obedient to God. So it's important that when God speaks, you pay attention, you either memorize it or you write it down. Now, another thing that helps is praying, of course. Praying in English, praying in the Spirit. If you pray in the Spirit or praying in tongues, that helps open the door to hear from God. There's got to be a good purpose for it. It's got to be in the Bible for a reason. That's one of them. So you're going to more easily open the door for the Spirit of God to speak to you in your thoughts. Now, another thing that helps is reading the Word of God out loud, because you're speaking the Word of God, and then you can also then hear from God in your thoughts. So those things help. God wants to be your friend. He wants you to recognize his voice. He wants you to speak to him personally. This is a personal thing. He wants you to surrender yourself, spirit, soul, and body, so he can use you and speak to you. And remember, he's preparing you not only for now, he's preparing you for eternity, and eternity is a whole lot longer than the now. And so this preparing for eternity is extremely important because he wants to get you ready to rule and reign with him. If you aren't ready, you're going to have to learn it there and you're going to miss out on some things. I've talked about that before. Now, he wants us to move out of our flow into his flow. I've mentioned there's a river flow of God, of the Spirit in us. And we need to get into that flow of the Spirit. And the way you do it is through some of the ways that I've talked about, such as worship and praise, quiet time, asking and receiving from God, writing things down. Now, one person put it this way, and you say, oh my goodness, I've never done this in my entire life. Well, it's a good time to start. So here's a way one person heard from God. They wrote a love letter to Jesus, and they told him how much they appreciated him and how special he was to them. Wrote that down, wrote a letter to Jesus. And after writing a paragraph or two, they fixed their eyes upon Christ, tuned into his thoughts. Thoughts begin to come. They start writing it down, and pretty soon they had paragraphs of things that God spoke to them because they had first spoke to God, writing it down in a letter. They wrote those things down. That is having a two-way conversation with God. And so some will say, well, I never had that in my life. Now's a good time to start. And I know some people, they don't want to hear from God, to be honest, because they don't want to change anything in their life. They says, he's going to tell me to change something, and I don't want to change. Well, you either change now, or you'll change later, you see. It's better now, I guarantee it. Better to get it done now and get in the flow of God, because when you get in the flow of God here, it's going to be easier to flow into God when you're in the heavenly realm. It really is, because those that didn't do it here are going to have to go to school there. I've talked about it before. God's going to get this out of you one way or another. either here or there. Amen. Now, that's just the way it is. He didn't call you to be some child and go off and do your own thing. He called you to for fellowship, for love, for encouragement, for instruction, and forever. God wanted a family. God wanted individuals like you. He died personally for you on the cross, so he's going to want to converse with you personally. Does that make sense? Okay, well, that's the way it is. And you say, well, Lord, about all the things I've done, give me a break. God will deal with those things. Confess them and move on. Confess them and move on. I don't care what you've done, how bad it was, who you hurt, or who hurt you, or whatever. It means nothing. What means something is having fellowship, conversation with God. That's what this whole thing is all about. So I think people get the idea, well, God's up there. He created the whole thing. Now, he just lets us play down here on the earth, and he just doesn't pay any attention to us. He's probably up there listening to Sewell Lovett, Jimmy Swaggart probably, or somebody. I don't know what he's doing. Well, it's not that way. It's not that way. He's not doing that. He's interested in you. God's focus is on you. And then when you focus on him, obviously that opens the flow of God in your life. He wants a daily time and conversation with you. Now, when you get a word of God and you're not real sure if it's from God or not, go to somebody you can trust. Grace did it the other day. She heard from God, said, I want you to hear this, see what you think. I listened to it. I said, that's God. I read it. She wrote it down. I read it. It's God. So don't take chances. Go to somebody that's spiritual. Go to your mate if they're open and have them read it, what God said, you see, and then thank the Lord. We all need a spiritual friend we can talk to about the things of God. And God needs us as a friend because that's the way he set it up. Okay, now, I'm going to show you another place here in the scriptures real quick. Let's look in Habakkuk. Now, that's in the Old Testament. And it's better to go to the end of the Old Testament and back up about, I think it's three books. If you have a hard time finding that, and anyway, it's in there, Habakkuk. Okay, right after Nahum, go to Habakkuk, go to chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, Habakkuk was a prophet. He wrote this book. He's going to tell you how he hears from God. Because prophets had to hear from God. I want you to see this. See, God puts this stuff in the Bible for us. You say it's Old Testament. That's not new. It doesn't make any difference. This is how you hear from God. Okay, here's what he says. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set myself upon the tower, and I will watch and see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. He says, God reproves me. I said, I'm going to have an answer for that, basically what he says. Verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that reads it. So here's how Habakkuk, a prophet of God, and the prophets in the Old Testament, listen, you're a prophet of God if you know Jesus. And this is the way you hear it. He says, number one, I will stand upon my watch. In other words, he said, I'm going to be quiet before the Lord. I'm going to go to a place where I can be quiet before the Lord. That's what he said. Then he said, I'm going to keep watch. I'm going to focus my eyes on the Lord. I'm going to watch. I'm going to see what the Lord is doing. I'm going to watch him. I'm going to picture him. I'm going to get a vision of God on the throne. He said, I'm going to fix my eyes upon Jesus, is the way we would say it. And then he said, he said, he will speak to me. I'm going to tune in to what he says. He's going to speak to me. And then the fourth thing he says here, I'm going to write it down, what God says to my spirit, to my heart, to my mind. I'm going to write it down. He wanted a word from God. He wanted it directly from the Lord so he could understand. And so he goes to a quiet place where he can be alone, be still. He has a vision. He has a picture of God. And then he gets a word from God, and then he writes it down. This is the divine pattern for hearing God. That's it right there. When the Jewish rabbis study the Old Testament, they look for patterns. Just like in the old days, if you wanted to, ladies used to make their own dresses, and they'd have patterns. And they'd buy a pattern, or they would draw a pattern, and they'd get the material, lay that pattern down on it, and pin that pattern to the material, and then cut it out, and then they would sew it together. They would have a pattern. So when Jewish rabbis study the Bible, they look for patterns. How does this work? How does God speak? How do I hear from God? How can I be close to the Lord? How can I get my answers from God? They look at these prophets and the Apostle Paul and what Jesus did, and they look for patterns all the time. John, when he wrote Revelation, he was out on an island all by himself. He'd been put out there because they couldn't kill him. They put him out on some island by himself. Well, God used that quiet time to speak to him. He was focusing on the Lord. He was praying to God. God gave him the book of Revelation. He wrote it down. That's the same way he speaks to us. These guys weren't super saints. They were people seeking God, you see. And that's what he wants us to do, seek him. Keep the fire burning. Keep it stoked up. Give it something to burn. Get in the Word. Seek God. It's work, but it's eternally important, you see. Can you imagine standing up there, somebody lived 80, 100 years old, and they stand before God, say, well, how much of my Word do you write down? What'd you learn down there? Well, God, I didn't have time. I just was too busy. I had too much going on. And besides that, you know how it is in football season and that kind of stuff, you know. I just didn't have time, God. He said, okay, you're out of here. You're going to school. And you just miss out on whatever for a while until you get it. Now, I'm telling you that's the way it's going to be. That's what the Word of God says. And so don't think you could ignore hearing from God and ignore these things, these patterns that God puts in his Word. If you ignore them, you're going to have to explain it when you stand before Jesus.